KGMI and the Cascade Radio Group receive financial compensation to present this program in its entirety. Opinions and information expressed are those of the host and or sponsors and do not necessarily reflect those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group. It's time to get informed and inspired. This is Saturday Morning Live, sponsored by Asset Advisors LLC on KGMI, News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham. Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Morning Live with the Fourth Corner bringing you Charlie Crabtree. This morning we're doing a different thing. We are actually in Spokane, Washington, and we are at the Washington State Republican Convention, and we're going to get right into it as we normally do on this program. And I'm lucky enough to have a wonderful first guest. And our first guest this morning is going to be a candidate for the United States Senate. He'll be running against Maria Cantwell. And he's going to talk to you a little bit about his background over the next little bit into our first break. I should probably give you his name. He's Dr. Raul Garcia, and I believe out of Yakima area. And this is actually a kind of a second run for you, I think, isn't it? Yeah. But we're going to have him tell you his story, and we'll listen and see what he has to say.
Well, good morning, Charlie. Thank you for having me here, and hello to everyone out there in Whatcom County. Love to be with you this morning. A little bit about myself. Yes, I am an emergency physician that has provide a service to patients at their most vulnerable moments for the last 25 years, and I feel that this change is not a change of service, but just a change of venue. No longer providing service to a person or a family, but to our state and our country that needs it. I originally was born in Cuba and lived under that communist regime for 11 years, so I know firsthand what a one-party system does. And what it does to me is that it continues to listen to their own echo chamber and become more radical, and I feel that that is what has happened in Washington. Back in Cuba, I was born in a farm that was taken from us by the government because government knows best. My mother's license to teach was taken away because she would not become a member of the Communist Party. And growing up in a communist system as a obligate pioneer of the revolution, I was taught that the only God was your government. So what it created in me was a love for a country that I had never stepped foot on. What it created in me was a love for that, what they call the American dream. And there's a lot of people that have that hope to come here and never make it. I was lucky enough to make it and to live out that American dream, to become a medical doctor, a medical leader in my profession, to run national boards and professional organizations, my own business, and now with the chance to be your next United States Senator. And I think that it comes at an appropriate moment where we have a crisis in our country that the government has not paid enough attention to, and that's fentanyl. So as an emergency physician, I would tell you that there is no one running for the United States Senate that could talk better about fentanyl than I can. And as your next United States Senator, I plan to pass the Americans Against Fentanyl Act that will give manslaughter charges to fentanyl dealers and mandatory rehab to addicts. And I think that that is the first step in cleaning our streets and bringing safety back to our state.
Something no one ever talks about in that regard. You hear it in local governments now. It's okay. Well, we've got 20 overdoses in the last 2 weeks. We've got to take care of the overdose problem. Let's get that medical capability to do that. But what local governments don't do at this time is they don't talk about how many people, because of the way that our policies on drugs, how many people are getting addicted. We're adding, in my view, we're adding geometrically to the drug addicted people. That is a long term problem. Is there any ideas or thoughts in policy at the federal level that might have something to do with that?
Right. So the government solution right now is harm reduction. And that I call government-approved hospice or suicide, because we know that these people are going to die. This is not the answer. I still work as an emergency physician, and I see 2 to 5 overdoses a day. And they're getting younger and younger. So, yes, being drastic and saying, no, I'm going to pass a law federally that will give manslaughter charges to dealers, because those dealers cannot be in the street once we have rehabilitated the people who truly need it, the addicts. You know, I am not coming down on the addicts. They are victims of this horrible killer. But when they come back to the community, they cannot have those dealers there. Those dealers need to be in prison, and we need to be very swift about it. And the U.S. attorney will make sure to prosecute when Congress backs them up. So that is my answer for it. It's a horrible situation. If I told you that 300 people died in a plane crash every day in America, the government would surely step in and ground aviation.
But we have absolutely no idea the number that got addicted on that day. We know how many die, but look at the thousands that are exposed to it because of the policies.
Oh, thousands. Yeah. Thousands. Yeah. Absolutely, because we're making it easier and we're enabling that process. As I said, harm reduction doesn't work. And we have the proof. What I would like to bring to politics is my scientific mind. According to results, what has worked? The country of Portugal in 2001 had a big opioid epidemic, and they did just this. They said, we got to take over and put dealers in jail and put addicts in rehab mandatorily, involuntarily. And they actually cleaned their country doing that. So we have the example to follow. We need to bring solutions. We need to bring a government of solutions. A lot of people say, well, the economy is bad. Okay, what are we going to do about it, right? And I like to think that as your next United States Senator, what I would like to do is surgically remove all the ineffective programs that we have at the federal level under departments, so we could bring down taxes, we could bring money back to people, and inflation could go down. So the normal family of Washington could afford housing again, could afford groceries again, could afford gas again. And I think that, of course, the initiatives that we're going to pass in November are going to help that too.
All right. So I'm kind of a rookie at this. Back at the studio, or can we take a break for a minute and come back in a couple minutes? All right. We're going to go to break. This is Charlie Crabtree with the Fourth Corner version of Saturday Morning Live with Dr. Raul Garcia. We'll be right back.
The Lummi Bay Market at Exit 260 is where you'll find more in the store. You'll find more in the store because there's so much store. Almost 10,000 square feet. The Lummi Bay Market is where you'll find everything you need for on and off the road. You'll find the best value on gas and diesel, along with way more than you would expect out of a convenience store. There's a liquor department featuring a great selection of your favorite competitively priced spirits, wines, and mixers. And of course, you'll want to check out the huge selection of ice cold beer in their massive beer cave. Want to grab a quick bite for breakfast or lunch? Don't feel like cooking dinner? At the Lummi Bay Market, you'll find a great hot deli counter, including our brand new fried chicken tenders, and chicken wings with all the fixins. Make the Lummi Bay Market your first or last stop of the day for fuel, food, and more. The Lummi Bay Market, just off I-5 at Exit 260 on Rural Avenue. Open 24 hours, 7 days a week. Lummi Bay Market, where there's more in the store. Barclay Village and Lydia Place are teaming up to bring you the 2024 Barclay Village Wine Walk, Thursday, May 16th from 5 to 8 p.m. Stroll through Barclay Village, enjoying pop-up tasting rooms in 14 different shops and restaurants. Your $40 ticket buys you a keepsake wine glass, 8 wine tasting tickets, a goodie bag, and Hagen Snack Shack treats. 100% of the proceeds benefit Lydia Place's mission to end homelessness in our community. Tickets are available now. Sellout risk is high. Get yours online at Barclay Village Wine Walk.
Staying connected with your community each Saturday at noon with KGMI's Community Connection, as local business leaders share their expert advice, sponsored by
Lighthouse Mission Ministries, Dewey Griffin Subaru, Feller Heating and Air Conditioning, Contact Counseling, and Guided Solutions.
Community Connection, Saturdays at noon on KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham, and streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of KGMI or the Cascade Radio Group.
Good morning, and welcome back to the fourth quarter version with Charlie Crabtree of Saturday Morning Live. We're actually in Spokane, Washington, at the Republican State Convention. They are going to elect some delegates to the National Convention today, and the other activities have been interesting with over 1,886 delegates, somewhere in there, and 500 alternates. It's the largest convention that's ever been held by the Republican Party in Washington State. As I said, we are back with our candidate for United States Senator, Raul Garcia. And Raul, what makes you different? What makes you think we can... you could make it to the finish line. I'll get there. And how are you going to do that?
Well, I think that we're drastically different than Senator Maria Camuela has been there now for 24 years. We have a great chance to term limit her out of her position this year. And the reason being is that I think that she's lost touch with the regular families of Washington. I think she lives in her mountaintop and comes every 6 years when she runs for office. But otherwise, not many people know what Maria does. And I'd like to be that voice of the people in Washington. I'd like to feel that everybody in Washington, when they wake up in the morning, they know that they have a guy in Washington, D.C., that thinks of them, that wants to open up opportunities for the state of Washington. And I am going to represent the state of Washington. And I have said many times, I'll stand with those in Congress that will be with me representing the state of Washington and making sure that we succeed. And I'll stand alone if I have to. Now, we're only 8 points behind Maria in the last poll, which is very good news to be 8 points in March. It is the fastest growing campaign that we have had as a Republican in the United States Senate in a long time. And more importantly, we are leading Maria by 6 points in the non-white vote. And that is special to me because it means that the ethnic cultures of Washington are listening to our message and are listening to someone that they feel represents them. And I want everybody out there to understand that as a physician of 25 years in the emergency department, I treated everybody that came in the door. And that's how I'm going to treat all my constituents. I'm going to represent you no matter what your ideology is. I'm going to listen. And of course, we're not going to agree 100% of the time. But every single person in Washington should feel that Senator Garcia at least listens and is there to listen and represent them. And that's my ultimate goal. I think that we need a government that represents the people. And I think we've forgotten that this is a service position. I am employed by you, and therefore I will be there for you. So we're very excited. I think that we get to the finish line by being very close in August, and then the national organizations are going to come down with a lot of resources and money for us here in Washington for the general, but we need to get to August. So I would ask all of you out there, of course, everything is money, $5, $10, $20. Of course, I will accept the maximum of $6,600, but GarciaForWa.com, GarciaForWa.com. Spelled out F-O-R-W-A, and join us in this movement, because it has to be bigger than me, bigger than us, is for the future of our families in Washington.
Okay, thank you. So let's get a little ticklish, maybe not. Couple of things. One is, we've been talking about you as an immigrant, and we know what kind of problems most of the nation knows now, finally, what kind of problems we have at our southern border. And absolutely everybody in the world's coming in, and we don't know what they have for diseases in the first place, and we don't know who they are in the second place. So what is the plan? Have you talked to any Senate colleagues to be, maybe? Yeah. And what is the plan of Republicans or you in particular on being able to try to mitigate what's going on?
Yeah, so many things about this. First of all, I'll tell you that I saw the first case of rabies in 20 years in the state of Washington because it came through the border, right? So the problem is that we don't have the discipline and leadership at the border to remain a sovereign nation. Every sovereign nation should have the right to vet who comes in and out of their country. Not only are we not vetting who comes in and out of our country, but we're letting crime and drugs freely flow through our southern and northern border, and we need to stop that. Yes, I had the pleasure of coming to Washington, D.C., and sitting with Senator Ted Cruz and Rand Paul and Steve Daines and Rick Scott, and we discussed a lot of this situation because I came legally to this country, and as soon as I landed in this country, they gave me a permanent resident card. But we have made such a bureaucracy of the legal immigration system in this country that is not easy. And I think that the one of the first steps has to be to revamp that legal immigration system. We cannot deny that we are a country of immigrants. And as Reagan said, look, if we have walls, let those walls have doors where everyone with a heart and will to get here and succeed for the American dream can do it. I believe that. I believe that we should continue to be a country of immigrants. But we need to vet everyone that comes in and out of our country. And we need to make sure that our legal immigration system is easy so we don't have so much illegal immigration into our country. We need leadership and we need discipline at that border.
So what's the first step? How do we do that? We have, basically, when you look at Washington, D.C. right now, we have zero. Zilch going on in almost anything that is involved in the federal government. So how do we fix that part? And then what is the first thing we do in those all those laws you talk about? What's the first thing we do to get started on this process that you just described to us?
Well, if I could make you picture that you're living in your house and you see one person come in the front door and then two and then 10 and then 20, and now your house is getting full, the first thing you do is close the front door and say, okay, let's regroup, let's figure this out, and then we could open the door again in a very regimented way so we are a sovereign country and we could dictate who comes in and out of our country.
Like a real country.
Yeah.
So what else do we have? Well, where are you from? What's your family?
Well, I have a phenomenal, strong family. They're the reason why I'm here. I call my wife my 75%. You know, everybody says, oh, this is my other half. I said, no, she's my 75% because we're usually going at life at 150.
Yes.
And even when we're not, she's still the 75% that holds it everything, you know, holds everything together. I'm the medical director of a hospital. I still practice as an ER physician because I practice in an area that is certainly needed in the Yakima Nation. And it's very satisfying to go to sleep at night knowing that what you do, it counts for people. And then running this little U.S. Senate race, right, that is getting bigger and bigger, and I think we are going to win it. We're finally going to be able to change, and I think that when we win in Washington, we will take majority of the Senate. I am very confident that my friend Larry Hogan in Maryland is going to walk it in, and he's going to turn that seat Republican. I think that in West Virginia, we're going to pick a Republican to come to the Senate, so we're going to flip that, and it's time to flip Washington. It's time to flip Washington.
So. We got a couple of minutes right now left, and I'm thinking, you know, there's this people that listen to this show and read my newsletter, no plug intended. They're from Whatcom, Skagit, Island, Snohomish, San Juan, and Clallam. When are you gonna get up that way?
Well, as soon as I get invited, I'm gonna go everywhere. I have been to all those counties already, but certainly love to be up there, and even in Port Angeles out there, that drove out there. I remember one day all the way out there and all the way back to Yakima on the same day. That was exciting. But it's beautiful. It's a great time of the year. And please invite me. I'm gonna be up there. I'd love to sit with you and chat and listen to what your important issues are. I could sit here for 4 hours and tell you everything that I'm gonna do. But there's certainly people out there that have a question in mind that they would want to ask me. So I welcome you to join us when we go up there.
All right. Well, there you go. Here live from Spokane and Republican Convention, Washington State Republican Convention. There's what we've got for Senate candidate, United States Senate candidate, Raul Garcia. Thanks very much, Raul. We'll be seeing you, I'm sure, in the fourth corner very soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, and thank you to everyone out there. Have a beautiful Saturday, and we are expecting the nomination of the Republican Party today, so it's a good day.
All right. Thanks very much. All right. It's time for the bottom of the hour break. This is Charlie Crabtree with the fourth corner version of Saturday Morning Live. We will be right back.
This is Dick Donahue, and as host of Wealth Wake Up here on KGMI, I'm constantly looking for information for the shows that can assist you in evaluating long-term solutions for your financial future. It is sometimes difficult to see through the forest and maintain a vision for our future, one that is not only impacted by current events, but will meet our long-term needs as well, a balance that is sometimes hard to achieve. Join us at 11 a.m. each Saturday or 9 a.m. on Sunday for our Wealth Wake Up shows as we try and provide you some clarity, or call us at Asset Advisors 360-733-1200 or check out our website at wealthwakeup.com.
The opinions voiced on Wealth Wake Up or in our podcast are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriate qualified professional prior to making a decision.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
This story is called The Ugly Truth About Timeshare. If you think you've done your family a favor by buying a timeshare, you need my help. Hello, I'm Chuck McDowell, founder of Wesley Financial Group. 10 years ago, I started helping folks cancel their timeshare. In the process, started what's now called the timeshare cancellation industry. The ugly truth is, when you buy a timeshare, you can't tell me how much it's going to cost or when it's going to end. I recently helped a couple that had their maintenance fees go from $800 to $3,200 a year. They also received a $4,000 assessment for a hurricane that was over 1,000 miles away. Sound crazy? The crazy thing is, this never ends. Call my office now. If we take you as a client, I guarantee we'll cancel your timeshare or you'll pay nothing.
Call for your free information kit. Call 800-948-7878. That's 800-948-7878. 800-948-7878.
There's a lot going on right now, and broadcasters are on the ground covering all of it, bringing you the weather, the traffic, and breaking news, all while entertaining you 24 hours a day. Someone needs to tell you what's going on around the world and in our hometowns. And that someone is us. We are free radio. We are always there. We are broadcasters. Visit wearebroadcasters.com or text radio to 52886 to learn more. Furnished by NAB and this station.
The latest local news and important topics of the day from the West Mechanical Studio.
Rest easy in a cool home this summer. Contact West Mechanical Heating, Air Conditioning, and Electrical to add heat to your existing system for as little as $140 a month. Find them at westmechanical.net.
Get the latest news and information 24/7 with KGMI News Talk 790, 96.5 FM in Bellingham.
Streaming live at mybellinghamnow.com.
CBS News Brief. Opening arguments in the hush money trial of former President Trump begin Monday. Meanwhile, a man who set himself on fire outside the Manhattan courthouse has died. Fred Gates saw the whole thing.
Before he doused himself, he threw a bunch of flyers into the air. He went into the backpack and flew them all with a flourish, like way up.
The man has been identified as Max Azzarello of St. Augustine, Florida. House Speaker Mike Johnson's job may be on the line. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
A third hardline Republican, Arizona's Paul Gosar, has signed on to a plan that could oust his fellow Republican Mike Johnson as U.S. House Speaker. The group has criticized Johnson for pushing a major proposal largely supported by Democrats.
That major proposal includes foreign aid to Ukraine. Employees at a Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga have voted to join the United Auto Workers Union. This man was among them.
The people that do the job, build the cars, our voices need to be heard. We need to be treated fairly.
CBS News Brief. I'm Linda Kenyon.
Good morning and welcome back to the Saturday Morning Live, the fourth corner version, with Charlie Crabtree. And I'm going to blow this one, and so I'm going to go to him. But we have a another candidate. He's the candidate that is going to take over the position that a guy by the name of Bob Ferguson has right now. And he's going to go for the Attorney General's job. And on the Republican side, he is the only guy that's there. And he's Pete Serrano. See, I do that all the time. Sorry. So tell us a little bit about yourself, however you want to present it here, and what's going on in your campaign.
Yeah, thanks, Charlie. Pete Serrano, running for Attorney General. As Charlie said, I am the only Republican in the race. I'm running against two Democrats, Senator Monica Dingra, who's introduced a lot of very bad legislation. That's a very complimentary statement of her. They only call it very bad. I think we could go much further and still be honest. And a guy named Nick Brown, who used to work for Jay Inslee and was appointed by Joe Biden at one point to enforce laws in Western Washington.
I did not know that.
He did. Well, I mean, I know he was appointed to do that. Certainly whether or not he succeeded is up to him to tell his story. So I've been a practicing attorney for 15 years. I'm down in Pasco, Washington, where I'm the mayor. I've been on Pasco City Council for 6 years. And my wife and I moved up here with our first child 9 years ago to work at the Hanford site, doing environmental law and contracts and government law. I spent about 4 years with the Department of Energy, and then I slid over to Energy Northwest, which is where they actually produce power. Nuclear power is the primary source down there, and I spent about 3 years down there at Energy Northwest. I really enjoyed my time doing working on compliance mechanisms, and then I was actually...
What is a compliance mechanism?
Primarily, it was environmental compliance and nuclear regulatory compliance. So when, for example, there was an upgrade of the power, we had to work. We had the engineers figure out the science and the math, but then guys like me would say, hey, the NRC, Nuclear Regulatory Commission, requires this paperwork, requires this. You'd reissue a license. They were valid for like 20 years, and so we'd work on reissuing licenses. We'd have a Department of Ecology up our backside because they had nothing better to do. You know, and those aren't political offices by the state of Washington, right? And so we would work on those issues. And now I founded Silent Majority Foundation. It's a 501c3 nonprofit where we fight the state of Washington and U.S. government over constitutional infringements, focusing primarily right now on First Amendment free speech and free religion, as well as Second Amendment issues.
That's more than I knew. I hope people listen to the show.
I hope so.
So Magra Dingra is one of your opponents?
She is. She is one of my opponents.
Is she one of the architects of what we've lived through the last 3 or 4 years?
She absolutely is. She, I believe, was a co-sponsor on the initial bill of the lack of police pursuit bill. And then she is the Senate Law and Justice Committee chair when the package, if you want to call it, the negotiations were issued to modify police pursuit last year. My understanding from talking to folks in the Senate is she said, no, I'm the chair. I'm not going to touch this. Pass it as is, you know, vote against it as is. And obviously we know it passed. There was no amendment to it. And then what we saw was Project 42 come in. And they had the six initiatives. One of those was to repeal or modify police pursuit. And thank goodness we are now in the position where those 45 days have lapsed. I believe it was 45 or 60. And we should have police out doing their jobs because the initiative passed. She still voted, mind you, against the initiative when it went through the Senate.
So where do you go from here as far as your campaign is concerned? You're here at the convention, and you're looking, I suppose, for some kind of an endorsement maybe and help. And what's your campaign look like?
Yeah, so immediately right now, obviously in the next hour or so, I anticipate that we'll hear that I've been endorsed by the Washington State Republican Party. As you mentioned, as I mentioned, I'm the only Republican. Not only that, but I think I'm a qualified candidate. I just kind of laid out my history of working with and for and against the government, protecting constitutional rights, understanding how the government law offices works. So I believe I'm highly qualified for the position. I think the WSRP will see that and endorse me. Of course, for those who are listening who are here, you know, or even those out in the ether who are listening on radio, all the support we can get is everything we need. Anyone willing to volunteer on the campaign, anyone who's willing to donate to the campaign, yep, serrano4ag.com. That's serranoforag.com. So if folks can donate there, they can sign up to volunteer, put a yard sign out. You know, it's really, you know, I was talking to some folks here. You're kind of going in waves and peaks, right? The first peak was to get through the convention, get the endorsement, get the extra name ID out. I have about 400 yard signs that I brought, and I know at least half are gone. So that's going to help name ID. We've had some donors come by. So, you know, we just need to continually have that money come in because it's really going to be a heavy push. We know that Dingra and Brown are going to be supported by the Democrat establishment.
Yeah, the machine. So we've had Rob Ferguson. And he's done some things. If you're Attorney General, what are going to be your top two priorities?
Yeah, the first will be just making sure, educating the agencies, the legislature, and my office that the Constitution and the people's rights come first. That's how that's the mantra of the Serrano AG office. And the second will be working on cleaning up the office. Look, I will tell you this. I litigate against them literally every day, email or in court. And I will tell you, there's some great people in that office that I think probably are a little afraid of Bob Ferguson putting them on a chopping block. I want to welcome those people or embrace them with open arms and say, hey, look, I know you're a good person. I've seen you. I've watched you. I've seen your ethics. Please, please, please stay on. Please help me set the tone of the Serrano for AG or Serrano AG's office of we're looking to protect the Constitution and the people. And so it's really working from within to work externally.
So we're moving on here a little bit. I think maybe back at the station we could take a break whenever. And all right, let's break one more time for the show. And this is Charlie Crabtree with the Fourth Corner version of Saturday Morning Live. We'll be right back.
Are you looking for an auto shop that offers honest quality service? Hi, I'm Kirk, owner of Angler Automotive. At Angler Automotive, we strive to make sure that all of your automotive service needs are met. Angler Automotive provides the factory recommended services that are required to maintain your vehicle's warranty. Angler Automotive, outstanding quality with honest, reliable service. Check us out online at anglerautomotive.com.
When you buy a Subaru from Dewey Griffin, you're buying more than a vehicle. You're buying safety for your family and reliability. Simply put, you're buying trust. Check out the huge inventory of new and pre-owned Subarus online today at DeweyGriffinSubaru.com. From the 8-passenger Ascent to the Forester, Impreza, and the all-new Crosstrek. Plus, get up to 1.9% APR financing on select new 2024 Subaru Outbacks. Dewey Griffin, community-minded, community-driven, and the only Subaru certified tire and service center in Whatcom County.
KGMI wants to put a grand in your hand. You could be one word away from a chance to win $1,000.
That's right. Just listen each weekday to KGMI for the keyword during the 8 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 5 p.m. hours.
Then go to the Grand in Your Hand contest page at mybellinghamnow.com before midnight and enter each keyword for your chance to win $1,000.
We'll have four keywords each weekday so you can increase your chances of winning by entering all four every day we play the contest.
You already listen to KGMI for the latest local news and discussion of the latest issues. Now you can win $1,000 while you do it.
A Grand in Your Hand is brought to you on KGMI by Niederhaus of Luxury, Whatcom County's newest fine jewelry store, next to Lombardi's on Bellwether Way.
A Grand in Your Hand is back on KGMI.
Get details at mybellinghamnow.com.
Good morning and welcome back. This is Charlie Crabtree with the Fourth Corner version of Saturday Morning Live. We're here in beautiful Spokane, Washington. It was a little nippy this morning, but it's perfectly sunny now. So if you got 6 or 7 hours, you can come over and join us. Barring that, we have with us today our second guest, who is Pete Serrano.
Yep.
Pete Serrano, I'm getting it right. He is running for the most important position we have in the state of Washington, in my view, and that's Attorney General. And we've been talking a little bit about the job to come for him if he gets it. And we're going to look back maybe a little bit on some of the things he's done and some of the cases he's worked and gone through. So what do you got for us?
Yeah, so let's start with that first thing you said. I do think that this is the most important office in this election cycle. And I don't mean that because, or I don't say that because I'm the candidate for the office. I think Bob Ferguson has shown us what naked partisan politics does to the people's rights when, you know, I'll tell you this. I watched Nick Brown, one of my opponents. He did a one-on-one interview the other day, and it was live streamed or on YouTube or something. And Nick was talking about how important it is, what Bob's done to achieve success, and there was a lot of flow down on kind of following that mantra. And it's tremendously concerning to me when you have someone who's going to just simply fall right back in line with the guy that we desperately don't want there, desperately don't need there. You know, I'm sure you've had the conversation with your Democrat friends or your independent friends, as I have. Even they're frustrated with that office.
Well, I got to interrupt you. I had a personal situation, not personal. It was a professional situation, and it was a PDC thing, Public Disclosure Commission, for those that don't know. And while I was out and about, here comes the Attorney General's office giving me a call and asking me X, Y, Z what my business was when they had no business asking it. So I understand the Bob Ferguson way of doing business, that's for sure. But others out there may not.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Bob Ferguson, he's done a lot to really fundamental overreach. Where I was going with the thought earlier was Nick Brown was talking about one of the most important things Bob Ferguson has done is utilize his ability to sponsor legislation, set legislative priorities, I believe were his exact words. You can watch it, don't quote me, but I'm pretty darn sure that's close. Now, we have an alleged independent body in the Attorney General's office who's supposed to help us determine what's legally and factually right and wrong, not what's morally right and wrong through legislation. But Bob Ferguson, as you know, he sponsored Senate Bill 5078, which was our so-called large capacity magazine ban. He sponsored a lot of the firearms issues. He's helped sponsor a lot of the social issues. It's come so you'll see up in the upper right-hand corner of legislation at the request of the Attorney General's office. Now, I look at my mantra. When I look at legislation I would sponsor, it'd be simply, I'd go to the legislature and say, here's the money I need to do my job. I'm not here to set policy. I'm not here to set law. I'm here to enforce it, defend it, or in unconstitutional options, not defend it. And back to your point, some of the successes that we've seen at Silent Majority Foundation, again, that's the foundation that I created 3 years ago. We initially started with the government overreach during COVID, and right now we've got a lot of firearms matters. And I do want to give a shout out to my team. I've got some awesome attorneys, a guy named Brett, a guy named Austin, Karen. I've got Katie that's doing our PR, Rob. my wife PJ is also helping. I know I missed Caleb. I know I'm missing someone in there, Carolyn, our paralegal. You know, we've got a great team, and obviously I'm involved. And Vince Cavallari is one of our other directors. Rob Waits is another director. So I just want to say thank you to my team, but we had some tremendous success on that Senate Bill 5078, the so-called large capacity magazine ban. If anyone's following Second Amendment issues, they're well aware that there was a decision out of a Cowlitz County Superior Court, and that was in Gator, it was State of Washington versus Gator's Guns. Now, what happens in this case is Gator's guns and his proprietor, Wally Wentz, are, I always say allegedly, but I think there's pretty good information that sold magazine out after the ban. So he was selling larger than 10-round capacity magazines after they were banned. At least that's what the state's claiming. The state, through Bob Ferguson, has a great enforcement tool of bad business practices called the Consumer Protection Act. Think about this as a lemon law, right? You know, if you sell a crappy car, you lie about the car, I should be able to sue you, or I should be able to have the state step in and help defend or help me sue you when you, yeah, exactly, because you lied to me about a product. Well, in this case, Bob Ferguson's used the Consumer Protection Act to say he was illegally selling these magazines. Now, I don't know about you, Charlie, but when I buy a 15-round magazine, I'm pretty upset when it's got less than 15 capacity. That would be a Consumer Protection Act to me. Wait, I bought a 15, you gave me a 12, right? Or you plugged it at 10 in some instances. But here, Bob Ferguson takes the Consumer Protection Act and says he sold these magazines illegally, therefore he's defrauded the people of Washington and defrauded his competitors. So he should suffer fines. And we, Silent Majority Foundation, Austin Hatcher and I took the lead on this one, and we started challenging this. We filed an answer to this complaint, and then we basically filed a countersuit that said this is unconstitutional. We are simply not going to stand for it under the Washington federal constitution. You know, now fast forward from like September of last year to March of this year, we have a hearing, and in April, we get a decision from the judge, 55 pages, that says Washington, U.S. Constitution, this violates both. So the magazine capacity ban violated both. And now, of course, the state's appealed it to the state Supreme Court.
They'll take it to the Supreme Court through. Does that just automatically go to the Supreme Court?
No, they have to file a challenge, and the state, they seek what's called. The state of Washington, in this case, is the plaintiff in the case. And they lost at the lower court. We got a motion for summary judgment, which disposes of the case. It's like basically don't need to go to trial. The facts, the evidence are sufficient to say team in this case, Silent Majority Foundation, or team Washington residents wins against the state of Washington.
So I'm going to interrupt a little bit here because it gets me into another mindset a little bit. It goes to the Supreme Court of the state of Washington, which we know is 9-0 appointed by Inslee and then elected following his appointment. What do you... And you can't, I know you can't say too much as an attorney general candidate or attorney general, but what do you think about the way that judges are elected and the way that obviously the Inslee administration at least has overstepped its capability and basically is doing appointments in a state that's supposed to be electing its judges?
Yeah, you know, we all know that the power of incumbency is real. You know, people who can run on a track record, it's a lot easier to win the seat. It's a lot easier to, you know, get funding for cases, or not for cases, for elections. We know elections aren't cheap. And so it's frustrating when you see people getting appointed on the last year of another judge's term or any other agency official. I'll be honest about that, because there are folks where the agency revolving doors, they go, they build, they pad a resume for a year or two, and then they jump off. You know, and they run on that experience. And again, it's whether it's the power of incumbency or the assumption of the power, it's simply there. And so seeing the way these judges are appointed and then have kind of a free skate is absolutely frustrating, because we don't have really diversity from the bench. Now, we may have physical or visible diversity, but the diversity of thought is lacking. And what we need is really independent individuals, not those who have been appointed by Inslee, occupied a position, and then just simply rolled into incumbency. So that is frustrating. You know, to your point about the Supreme Court on the Gators guns case, we know we're going there. In fact, we've the state took four kind of different paths, and we agreed that two of them, because one of the paths for direct review is whether or not it's a constitutional question, whether or not it's a public issue, and no question that, you know, whether or not purchasing these magazines, it is a constitutional question. That's how we defended it. And then it is a public issue, because we the people don't have the right or ability to purchase these firearms or these components that are integral to firearms. And so, you know, we agreed to those two. The state had two other issues, and I'm like, no way, we're not going to agree to that. And so I foresee this going directly to the state Supreme Court rather than the Court of Appeals. But the beautiful part about the judge's decision in Cowlitz County is he's got a lot of analysis under the federal constitution. And so that gives us an opportunity to potentially get to SCOTUS, Supreme Court of the United States. And so we're looking at this from a long, long, long haul. And I know people are like, hey, you won. We had our freedom 88 minutes. And then the judge, the Supreme Court commissioner put a stay or a pause on your win. And it's like, okay, let's worry about that, but let's focus on the long road. So, yeah, you know, we're doing great work at Silent Majority Foundation, and it's helped show that I care, that I care about the Constitution, that I do care about the people of Washington. So I think hopefully that's helped build a good track record. I know you've got someone else coming on. Just wanted to let folks know again.
You're doing wonderfully, though.
Okay.
And you might wrap up what you're doing as far as your campaign. I think, you know, you got the legal for it. What's your plans in your campaign looking forward over the next 3 months? Is there a chance that you will come up to the fourth corner, which is Whatcom, Skagit, Island, Snohomish, San Juan, and take the ferry and go to Kalem?
Yeah, no, I mean, so I'm going to be in Snohomish in May. The 38th Legislative District's invited me, and hopefully we'll be able to do a fundraiser there. I'll be in King County the next day, so it'll be May 8th and 9th. I do want to get back up. I spent some time up in Linden. You know, I almost ventured all the way up to Canada, but I was like, I want to retain free citizenry. So I didn't cross the border, but I love it up there.
Brings up one more question. So what we're talking is the state's attorney general. And on this hand, we're talking about the federal government flooding the country with the illegal aliens and the illegal people. What does a attorney general's function in that particular regard?
So, you know, typically the attorney general would, you know, in some cases sue the administration, as we saw Bob Ferguson do Donald Trump's administration 90 whatever times. You know, my goal would be to work with them. Now, I was teed up to the fact that there was legislation passed, I believe, in 2019 that says Washington State actually prohibits its law enforcement agencies from using citizenship as kind of a pretext for stopping. Now, I'll be honest, I don't want cops discriminating racially against people assuming they're illegal.
How about Sanctuary City?
Yeah, we can't have that. I mean, we've got to...
I mean, they don't turn them into DEI because, oh, well, you live in a sanctuary state, city, county.
Yeah, no, I mean, look, the bottom line is the law has to be enforced. Certainly for those who have crossed illegally, you know, they broke the law to get here. And there are people that are great people who are contributing now that either, you know, got brought over young. You know, that's where the DACA program comes in. I'm not sure where I fall on that, I'll be honest. I think it's got some benefits. I think it can be abused like any other government program that has concerns. But there are also people who have been here on green cards and other legal resident status that are waiting. And we can't just, like, hand it out, say, hey, you crossed over, therefore you get a free pass. We need those who are actually fighting for their citizenship and working hard to legally do it to have their ability to achieve that status. So, you know, that'll be the primary focus. Is if there's a way to streamline or assist in legal immigration, I would happily participate in that.
So, to be really honest with you, you're one of the greater guys I met at this convention so far. Come by your booth and you're friendly, and I hope everybody in Whatcom County can get to know you. If you could do me the kindness of saying or spelling out your website one more time.
Yes, serrano4ag.com. That's serrano4ag.com. Pete Serrano, I will be your attorney general in January.
All right. Thanks for coming on. That was awesome.
Much appreciated.
Appreciate it very much. So our last little short period of time, we might have a couple guests if he doesn't wander off. I have with me some friends that came over to the convention, and we're going to just have about 30 seconds maybe from a fellow who is severely young. It's just one of those where he has become a delegate in Whatcom County through the whole process. And he's here. Tell us what you're doing here and your name. And tell us what you're doing here as far as the function beyond being a delegate.
Hey, I'm Peter Kronk, and I'm just here to kind of see how the process works. It's really cool to put names to faces, politicians I've respected for years. I finally get to meet them, and it's cool just to see how the process works and try to stay
out. So you've been at the doors, and you check IDs, and what do you do?
I'm just here to delegate. I'm not checking.
Oh, it's the other Kronk.
Yeah, that's the other one. Yeah.
Two brothers. You're a brother to, what's his name?
It's pretty fun. Yeah, it's been a great weekend, and yeah.
Okay. Thanks for your time. So, my last guest here this morning will be the gentleman that had to drive over here with me and friend, Bruce Ayers, who is a former chair, former state committee man, and now currently state committee man for the Whatcom County Republican Party. So we've got just like 2 minutes. Talk to me about what your impressions, thoughts, ideas, things are of the Washington State Republican Party convention so far.
Well, this convention is the biggest convention we've had. It's over 1,800, I think it's almost 1,900 delegates. We've got a lot of things to decide. Delegates go to national. We had to reelect our national committee man to the national committee after Jeff Kintz was our national committee man for 24 years. So for the first time in 24 years, we've had to elect a new one. And it's been a very busy, active, lots of people. People are here to join together, to be a group, to be unified, and do our best to help the Republicans get elected in this upcoming election. And that's what this convention is all about. So I'm here to be part of that. I'm here to help when I can. Charlie's here setting up his booth, and he's also a delegate. We're out there voting, and it's one of those experiences that only happens once every 4 years. So, you know, glad to be here.
So in this case, we haven't met for 8 years, so it's really kind of a blast. Well, this week and this weekend have been different on the fourth corner, and they have been different on our program for Saturday morning. We appreciate you listening. And for now, the fourth corner, Charlie Crabtree for the fourth corner on Saturday Morning Live. We'll sign off. Y'all have a good weekend and a good Saturday morning. Take care now.